Katie on vacation. She will return next Monday. Myself and Kyle Madsen behind the glass. Well, I'm not behind the glass, Kyle is. You get what I'm saying. 339.
You're behind the glass to me.
Well, that's a good point right there, actually. You might be in front of the glass.
I appreciate that you see, that you see things through my perspective.
You know what? I'm going to try to do that in the future, Kyle.
Yeah. Thank you.
44-11-40 on the text line. Greg, Luke, and Bill will join me from 8 to 9 on Friday for part two of our conversation from a couple weeks ago. And if the poll results hold up on Twitter, my wife will join me from 8 to 9 tomorrow. That might be a day you want to take off as a listener. You're not supposed to say that when you're a radio host. It might be a day you want to take off. The Warriors. Kyle, I'm going to make a statement right now. One of those hot takes that people love so bad. Warriors are going to make the playoffs next year. I'm telling you.
It's August. How can you possibly say that?
Because I am good at my job, and I pay attention to the NBA.
Watch the film.
I break down film. I have concluded the Warriors are probably going to make the playoffs. But how would you like to bet some money on the Warriors making the playoffs? Just making the playoffs. Now, if you were to take out, if you were to, let's say, bet $1,000 on the Warriors making the playoffs, what do you think your return would be?
$10.
$10. Well, buddy, that's too high. In order to win $1 on the Warriors making the playoffs, you have to bet $1,000. $10,000 gets you $10, buddy. How about that? I'm positive the Warriors are going to make the playoffs, and I don't have $10,000. But if I did, I'd still be scared. I wouldn't do it. What if Steph Curry went up for a layup and crashed into Kevin Durant, who rolled into Draymond Green? I mean, they'd probably still make the playoffs, and they all simultaneously broke their legs.
Come on, man.
I'm saying what if. I'm not rooting for it. I'm saying think about that. $1,000 gets you a dollar. $10 gets you a $10. $100,000 wins you $100.
It's risk reward, really.
Yeah, exactly. You bet $1,000,000 on the Warriors to make the playoffs. If you win, you're coming home with $1,000. That's just not, I can't do it, man. I couldn't, as sure as I am. I'm not that sure. Could you do that if you had $1,000,000? There's got to be better bets.
Yeah, there are so many better things you could do with $1,000,000.
I'm good.
The return on investment there is not worth the possible loss. I thought it was crazy. The Patriots, when I was in Vegas a couple weeks ago, were going off at minus 2,000 to win the AFC East.
Hold on. When you say minus 2,000.
So you have to bet $2,000. $100. And I thought that was crazy.
I think almost as crazy as having to bet $1,000 to win a dollar on the Warriors making the playoffs. You have to bet, by the way, these numbers are according to the Westgate Sportsbook in Las Vegas. You have to bet $500 to win a dollar on the Warriors winning the Pacific Division. That's actually almost crazier. Now, I'm not saying the Clippers or the Lakers or the Kings or the Suns are going to win the Pacific. But you have to bet $500 to win a dollar on the Warriors. Now, here's a better bet. Maybe the Kings will win the Pacific Division. Who knows? Maybe Scal is going to show the flashes he showed last year all year long. Willie Cauley-Stein is going to dunk on everyone. George Hill is going to come in. All right. So if you put a dollar down on the Kings to win the Pacific Division. If they did, you're bringing them $250. 250 to one odds.
Put $20 on that.
Right. Why not? That's $5,000. It's $5,000 if the Kings won the whole thing. Imagine how happy you'd be if you were a Kings fan. Not only are you happy because your team won the Pacific Division and that would be a crazy season, but you got $5,000 to hang out with during the playoffs. That'll get you into a game or two. If you want to bet on the Kings actually doing more than that, for example, the odds for the Kings to actually, the odds for the Kings, Now, see, this is what's confusing to me. It says the odds for the Kings to win the division are 300-1. The odds for the Kings to win the conference to make the NBA Finals are also 300-1. That makes no sense to me, other than I think the
I'm guessing there's like a cap.
I guess. Where they're just like, you know what, neither's going to happen. Bet on whatever you want. It's not going to happen. What, 300? What's the odds on the Kings making the final? 300-1. Okay. The odds on the Kings winning the NBA championship. Now, this is good news for Kings fans. They started out at 1,000-1. They're currently 750-1. Okay.
The Kings have gotten 250 times better.
That's what I'm saying.
Since the odds dropped.
Now, somebody's asking on the text line, and I had a feeling you would. I haven't seen these yet. I was looking for them. How much would you make if you bet $1,000 on the Kings just making the playoffs? I will effort that this afternoon because I don't see that. But I imagine for the Kings to make the – I'm just going to guess if it's 300-1 for the Kings to make the to win the Pacific – I'm going to probably say it's 75-1 probably for them to make the playoffs, maybe 60-1. It's going to be significantly lower. You got 8 spots. Not that lower. Hey, David.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's cracking?
Not much. This is just your resident Knicks fan calling.
Yes.
So I get the odds for the Warriors to win the Pacific. But if there was any one or two single games for them to possibly lose or that you would bet on, is there any at all this year?
You're saying like specific games against specific teams? Like if I were to bet right now that they would lose to X team, what would I bet on?
Exactly. If there's just one or two specific games against X team, which one would it be?
Okay, I would say at San Antonio. And I would say at San Antonio would be number one for me. And then I'm trying to think. I'd probably throw in at San Antonio, at Houston, at Cleveland.
That sounds about right. Now, are the odds out against single games right now?
No, they're not. The over-under on regular season wins is out. Thank you for the call, David. It's 67.5 for the Warriors. For the Sacramento Kings, and we talked about this a while back. The Sacramento Kings, if you want to go make a bet right now, the over-under for Kings wins, 28.5.
I have a Warriors game I would like to bet them to lose.
Which is?
They're at home against New Orleans on Saturday, November 25th. It's the back end of a back-to-back.
Okay.
Coming off a 4-game East Coast / Midwest road trip.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
So they play 4 games on the road at Boston, Philly, Brooklyn, and OKC. They have the Thursday off, then they play Friday, Saturday.
And that's the 25th.
Of November, yeah. And then they get the Kings the 27th.
What was their last game before the 25th?
Chicago at home the 24th.
On the 24th. Because you know what? Here's what's interesting. Now, Chicago at home and then New Orleans at home?
Yes.
And you're saying you'd bet on the New Orleans game?
Yes.
I'd bet on the Chicago game.
Interesting.
Here's why. No, I wouldn't, because Chicago's terrible. I'd bet on New Orleans. But I had to think about that for a second. Because you know what else you're not factoring in there? It's the day after Thanksgiving. So you're going to have big, fat, tryptophan Steph Curry, who's downed a ton of turkey. Yeah, 28.5. 28.5 is your over-under on wins for Sacramento. 53.5 for Cleveland. 67.5 for Golden State. 55.5 for Houston. 56.5 for Boston. Meaning, even with that trade going or not going through, as of right now, Vegas has Boston with the second most wins in the NBA. Second most wins followed by Houston and then Cleveland. Oh, that's not what I want. Oh, now it works, by the way. Jerry, hi. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Jerry.
It's kind of sad about the Kings, but don't they allow, like, half the teams in the league to be in the playoffs?
About, yeah. It's 8 per conference, 16 total. But 8 per conference is what matters.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here and make a prediction. And the Kings will make the playoffs within the next 100 years.
Within the next what's of years?
Next 100 years, they will make the playoffs. I promise.
Jerry, you're going out on a limb, buddy.
Hey, thanks, guys.
I'll tell you what, I guarantee you, somebody called this station 10 years ago and was like, dude, I guarantee you, Kings will be a title contender within 10 years. That didn't work. Actually, what's really sad is that more teams in the Western Conference, and let me see here, 2, 4, yeah, more teams make the playoffs than miss the playoffs in the NBA. I got to throw that out there every once in a while. 8 teams from each conference make the playoffs. 7 teams from each conference miss the playoffs. There's 30 teams total. More teams make the playoffs than miss the playoffs. And we can't even make the damn playoffs. From the 916, nerd checking in, you'd have to eat around 12 pounds of turkey to even remotely feel the effects of tryptophan. Well, A,
boom, roasted.
Challenge accepted. B, help me out then. Why is it that every single Thanksgiving, my Uncle Steve, an hour after dinner, is on the couch sitting up with his head and neck straight back like a baby bird getting ready to be fed, sawing logs and snoring at the ceiling?
That's the itis. You're full. You're out. So I don't think that's a tryptophan unless he's eating 12 pounds of turkey.
I wonder if there's a difference in tryptophan content since this nerd's texting in. I'll give you an assignment. Does dark or light meat carry more tryptophan, or is it the same all the way around? Like, if you eat a turkey leg, are you more likely to get sleepy than if you eat a turkey boob? That's what I'm wondering.
That's how they get you at Disneyland with the turkey legs.
The Tampa Bay Rays used their stadium to host the Houston Astros yesterday. The Astros obviously not being able to play in Houston. Here's what the Rays did. Proceeds from that series, the Rangers-Astros series at Tropicana, donated to the Houston relief effort. They also did some little things. The Houston Astros intro video, that played over the video screen and all that stuff. They did everything they absolutely could to make the Astros feel at home. And we told you about the Rangers denying the Astros' request to trade series yesterday. That's how you handle the situation. Well done, Tampa Bay Rays. From the 916, your Uncle Steve falls asleep because Uncle Steve has first world problems. You damn right. When we get back, 3 for Madness. That's in 5 minutes on the drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. We get started with 3 for Madness. Joe Haden was released by the Browns and been inundated by Raider fan who says, you know, pick up Joe Haden. Let me tell you something about Joe Haden real quick. And I'm sure you probably knew this too. Joe Haden was a really, really good player. The past 2 seasons, Kyle, Joe Haden has given up 72 catches on 110 throws into his coverage, 1,059 yards and 10 touchdowns while getting just 3 interceptions.
Yikes.
I'm no scout, but that's not good.
Not great.
Question number 1.
Yeah, I got a question for you right here.
Please.
What is the sports version of the beginning of fall?
Ooh, we talked about this yesterday, and I'll take your calls at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. The sports version of the beginning of fall to me is, and I'm going with your, you know, sometimes, Kyle, in sports radio, people oppose answers just for good radio. We don't believe in good radio here. We believe in honest radio. There's a difference. I'm going to piggyback on what you said yesterday, and I believe it was the first wild card game in baseball playoffs. That's what does it. NFL season starts. It's still hot outside. College football season started. It's 100,000 degrees outside. It has to be some combination of the weather. And I know we said the sports version, but the baseball playoffs scream fall to me. Yeah. It's called the Fall Classic for a reason. That's the start of sports fall for me.
There's just an energy that comes off the screen during the baseball playoffs. It's a little different. The buzz is a little different. And I think that, like you said, it's sort of weather-related because the first couple NFL games don't really feel like NFL games to me. It looks hot.
Yes.
It's daytime. But, dude, you get Green Bay on that, you know, 125 start where you can tell the air is crisp. I love that.
I love it when you wake up in the morning. There is nothing to me better. 2 greatest smells in the world. Pizza dough in the morning. I used to work right next to a Pizza Hut. That pizza dough cooking at 9 a.m. And the smell of smoked meat. in the early morning when it's crisp outside. Those are the that screams to me sports, and it's great to be alive. Number two.
Are the Warriors the biggest major championship favorite in history?
Some nerd's going to go out and some nerd's going to go out and look up odds, and I didn't bother doing that. I'm not talking about like Vegas odds and all. I'm talking about in my lifetime and your lifetime and what and that's really history. So for me, there's no history before the mid 70s. I don't remember there being a bigger, I'm talking about the three major sports, baseball, basketball, football. I don't remember there being a bigger favorite to win the title. I don't, in baseball, of course not. Baseball is way too wide open. Sorry.
Yeah.
It would have to be football versus basketball. And in all the year, Tom, maybe the one I'd like to look at are the Chicago Bulls and those odds going into their 72-win season. I'd like to look at that. That's the only one that comes to mind that would be in the conversation with the Golden State Warriors this year.
The Warriors are coming off a 67-win season. They went 16-1 in the playoffs. They kept the team intact for the most part. This has to be the biggest favorite ever. And maybe not in the sports books, but from just a standpoint of people going, I'm not even going to bother to watch.
Dude, I think even maybe in the sports books.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think so
too. We'll have to look it up, but honest to God, like, and who's the kid? You're the bandwagon Dirty Warrior fan here.
I'm disgusting.
You're horrible. Who is the kid they got in the draft that they traded up for?
Jordan Bell.
Thank you. Jordan
traded
Bell.
Into the draft. Like, they didn't have a pick.
They actually got better. And if you look at NBA history, when these super teams are formed or there's huge pieces added, you look at it in Miami, for example, when LeBron went down there, it usually takes a year for them to fully mesh. They had their first year with Kevin Durant last year, and they won the championship, and they went 16-1. Barring an injury, I'll tell you right, and we'll get into more of this, obviously, as the season gets closer, I think that the all-time win record and an undefeated run in the playoffs, that's what's on the table for the Warriors this year. That's their bar.
Yeah, I think they'll deliberately sit people to make sure they're not chasing that. But yeah, I think that's, in fact, I have a question for you. We got to kind of go quick here, but
yeah.
I got a question for you. I'll ask later.
Okay. All right. Number three.
Aaron Judge and our own Rhys Hoskins, Sacramento's own Rhys Hoskins, are having amazing years, but who is your biggest flash in the pan? Because quick starts tend to make us think of those flash in the pan type of guys.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I want to put more thought into this, and of course, I pose the question so I can put all the thought I want into this, but I kind of want to leave this to the audience, again, at 339-1140 or 44-1140. It's tough, man, because are you factoring in injuries? If you're factoring in injuries, and it's unfair to do so, but we talked about Kerry Wood earlier, who ended up having a good career. Mark Pryor, his teammate, that's another one that was just amazing. Could you count Bo Jackson as a flash in the pan? See, what I'm thinking is more of one season or less of amazing and then never panned out. Whereas guys like Bo and Kerry and Mark Pryor, you could put together more than a season of them being at the top of their game. A guy like Steven Strasburg, people were worried because of injury, he might be a flash in the pan. But when you look at guys like Aaron Judge or Rhys Hoskins, it reminds me of guys like Kevin Moss or Greg Jeffries, who were true flashes in the pan. Hopefully, obviously, in Hoskins' case and really in Judge's case. I hope these guys have long Hall of Fame careers, but it makes you start to think.
Yeah, I think, as much as I hate to say this, I think you got to throw Colin Kaepernick in there.
Ooh.
Mainly because I'm of the mind he can still play in the NFL, but mainly because he was supposed to be the prototype of the new wave of NFL quarterbacks.
Sure.
These guys that could move, they had rocket arms. Like, this is the future of the quarterback position. And it eventually kind of reverted back to, you know, your Andrew Lux and your Matt Ryans, your drop back and pass passers.
Would a guy like Reggie Bush count based on what he did in college versus what he didn't? When Reggie Bush came out of USC, I thought he was going to be the greatest running back. I thought he would be right up there with Marshall Faulk and Barry Sanders, and he was the next level. And it never, ever, there's never been a player coming out of college in football that I was more high on than Reggie Bush that didn't deliver. Now we'll get to that a little bit more. Matt Barrows is going to join us here at 7:35. We'll talk to him about the big Vance McDonald trade and really get an update on camp, where the Niners are right now. Also, Jim Cozumel, our old buddy, old KHTKer, made good. He's going to join us at 8:05. It's always a blast when Coz comes on. We'll do both of those next right here on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. A lot of response, biggest flashes in the pan, and I know that's a broad term. Welcome into The Drive. Matt Barrows, by the way, will join us in a couple minutes to talk Niners. Ricky Williams, that's a good one. Remember when Mike Ditka traded, you know, basically his entire draft for Ricky Williams?
Oh, do you remember Brandon Lloyd, his first time with the 49ers?
Oh, God, yes.
He made a couple just, like, incredible plays, and he was like, this guy's the future.
He's the next T.O.
He was not.
Yeah, spoiler alert, he wasn't. Greg Oden, that's a tough one, man, because Greg Oden never really did anything in the NBA. Matt Leinart coming out of USC, that was a big deal. Vince Young, that's a good one. Vince Young's a guy, speaking of Reggie Bush, Vince Young's a guy who basically single-handedly carried Texas to that upset win over USC to win the national championship.
Also took the Titans to the playoffs as a pro.
And then boom, gone. Just boom, gone. Derrick Rose won an MVP. You count that. Jeremy Lin's actually carved out a pretty good career.
Derrick Rose won an MVP, but, like, we all know that was a LeBron Vatine MVP.
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
That was like when Karl Malone won it that one time instead of Michael Jordan. I was looking at some lists of some guys online. Eric Gagne, Buster Douglas, that's a great one. They also listed Aaron Hernandez, and I understand that's a little bit morbid. But Aaron Hernandez, once upon a time, we forget, with all obviously the craziness surrounding him and what he did and what happened to him and all that. And I'm not making light of this at all, just from a pure sports perspective. Once upon a time, Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez as those dual tight ends for New England, that's the craziest pair of tight ends. Crazy is the wrong word. That's the scariest pair of tight ends we've ever seen and probably will ever see in the NFL. People forget about that. You think Aaron Hernandez, you obviously think of the tragedy surrounding him that he caused both on others and on himself. What we forget is that the guy had 2,000 yards and 18 touchdowns over 30 seasons. A 42-yard rush in a Super Bowl. Now joining us right now, I don't want to say it's a big trade yesterday, but hey, it's a trade in the NFL. Is close to the regular season. It's been a while since we've gotten an update on Niners training camp. It is, as I said yesterday, I said this on the air. He wasn't even here, so I wasn't kissing ass. I said there is nobody that covers the San Francisco 49ers better than Matt Barrows. Not on TV, not in print, not on podcast. And he joins us right now from the Sacramento Bee. You can read him at sacbee.com. Matt, it's Dave. How are you?
Dave, you can't see me right now, but I'm blushing. Thank you for that compliment.
When you blush, because, again, you go with the clean-cut look.
Yes, it's a full head blush. I mean, it's not just cheeks with me. It's forehead and back of head and top of head.
The whole head turns red. Matt, Vance McDonald, he's gone, basically amounting to one level of draft pick. Vance and a fifth rounder to Pittsburgh for a fourth rounder. Why did John Lynch do this?
Well, there seems to be a real pattern of guys who got very recent contract extensions from Trent Baalke getting the axe from John Lynch. And they did this because they don't think that Vance McDonald is the type of guy that they want on this team. And why is that? And no one will say this, but, I mean, we've all seen Vance McDonald, drop passes at inopportune times. We've all seen him, catch a pass, take a big hit, and then immediately, raise his hand that he needs to come out of the game. And I really think that tough guys have been number one on John Lynch's and Kyle Shanahan's radar. They want to instill this team with tough guys, guys that they lost over the years, the Frank Gores, Patrick Willis's, the Justin Smiths, the Anquan Boldens, et cetera, et cetera. And frankly, Vance McDonald did not fit that definition and was a bit of the opposite. And so they felt like they needed to get rid of him and get rid of the big contract that he just signed in December via Trent Baalke.
Matt Barrow's with us, and I feel smart because Kyle and I were talking earlier about this, and it does seem like there is a pattern of getting rid of or just really wiping the Trent Baalke off of this roster. Now, what percentage, you know, was it 70-30, whatever the heck, what percentage of this was what you just said in getting rid of him, and what percentage of it was George Kittle? Did that factor in a ton, or is that just the guy?
That definitely factors in, but remember, they were trying to shop Vance McDonald during the draft. So before George Kittle was even on this team, and certainly before they knew that George Kittle was able to do the things that he does. I mean, George Kittle has been a bit of a surprise. I mean, they knew that he was going to be able to run block. It's something that he said he did 80% of the time, it seemed like, at Iowa. What they didn't know was that he was going to be such a great route runner and pass catcher. And he's done both of those things. He's really been sort of the surprise draft pick so far, and may end up being, you know, one of the best draft picks in year one. I mean, Reuben Foster gets all of the attention. Solomon Thomas is going to get a lot of snaps. People are going to talk about C.J. Beathard, but boy, at the end of the day, I think that George Kittle is going to be at the top there. So, you know, once they knew they had him, it just made the trade even easier than it would have been, you know, for them back in April.
Well, a lot of times when you come on, Matt, I'll go to your little section of the B at sackb.com. It's simple, guys. Just go to sackb.com, click sports, click 49ers, and you get all of Matt Barrow's work. And I noticed you were kind of paring down the roster in your mind, and it intrigued me with quarterback. With the history of Brian Hoyer injury-wise, do you see them keeping two, or do they need to keep three quarterbacks?
Well, the bottom line is I don't know.
Right.
I'm just making a guess here, but I think it's an educated guess in that you've got the combination of Brian Hoyer, you know, having an injury-riddled career, really. You know, broken arm, concussion, ACL, the works. He's had them, and he's very rarely been able to hang on to a starting job, despite playing pretty well, because he has been injured. And you couple that with a interior offensive line that isn't the best in the league. If I'm the 49ers, I'd like to keep all my quarterbacks around. Now, if Beathard wins the number two role over Matt Barkley, and I think there's a real good chance that happens. No one is going to, I don't think, jump on Matt Barkley and say, we have to sign him. And there's a chance that he could be, you know, a free agent. And then if there are injuries, the 49ers could bring him back. But my point is, why even take that risk? I mean, I don't think that there's any real need in other spots on the roster where you would definitely want to go with two. So that's why I went with three on mine. Now, whether Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch agree with me, we'll have to find out on Saturday.
It's hard to have a heartbreaking preseason loss, but if there was one, it happened against the Vikings. I'll ask you this. Can Niner fans get excited? Is it okay for them to get excited at how that defense poured through that Vikings line like warm butter, especially in the first half? Is it okay to get excited about that, or is it a combination of preseason and it's the Vikings line?
Yeah, I consider this the 49ers' record in the preseason right now to be 1-2, with the one win being the Vikings and the other two being losses, because they did not look good. The first-string defense and offense did not look good in the first two games. They looked spectacular in the third. So, yeah, I think that they can get excited about that. And the main reason is because Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator, dipped more deeply into their bag of tricks, into their playbook in the Vikings game. This was the best facsimile of what we're going to see on September 10 against the Carolina Panthers and what the coaching staff does and all of the starters out there, and the results were pretty good. So I think people should get excited. They're a sneaky pick to pull off an upset win in week one. It seems like the 49ers always win week one and then go on a slide recently. So that might not be a bad pick to make with the Panthers coming to town.
Matt, on Monday, you wrote a column that was an absolute hot take cannon to a lot of Niner fans. You dipped your toe in a little bit of lava. You mentioned Reuben Foster, and you mentioned Patrick Willis in the same sentence. T- Talk a little bit about that. Obviously, that was another educated thing, and talking to some other people that maybe share that thought. But is it okay to even start to have those thoughts?
Well, yeah, in terms of sort of taking over the middle of a defense, he did bring Patrick Willis to mind. And I talked to Scott McLuhan, who drafted Patrick Willis. So, of course, you have to kind of consider that McLuhan is going to defend Willis and, trump up his own scouting acumen by saying it's really not a great comparison because Willis was so fast. And,
yeah.
And no inside linebacker since Willis has been like that. And that's true. They're not exactly the same. I would actually compare Reuben Foster more to Ray Lewis. And I'm not saying he's going to be a 10-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl winner and all that, but his game seems to be more similar to Ray Lewis's, maybe even later in his career when he got a little heavier and was a little bit bigger and more of an enforcer. That's the analogy I would make. But the bottom line is that he looks really good, and the arrow is definitely pointed way up on him, and he's going to be talked about and discussed throughout the season. And it's the reason why this defense, people always forget why this team was so bad last year. And there's one major reason that outstrips the others. They could not stop the run. They broke a 70-year franchise record in most rushing yards allowed, and we're flirting with an NFL record in that category. And so all of these things really kind of speak to that elemental issue that was with the 49ers last year, stopping the run. And I think Reuben Foster and Solomon Thomas and all the people that we've been talking about are going to be a big step towards shoring that up.
Talking Niners with SACB's Matt Barrows. Something that jumped out at me on that article, you mentioned McLuhan grabbed Willis, but both Mike Nolan and Mike Singletary were skeptical about grabbing Willis with the number 11 pick. That's fine, but one of the reasons was that this guy had a little bit of an injury issue in college. So when you talk about comparisons between the two, that's another one. How is the worry level, the worry meter right now with Reuben Foster when it comes to that shoulder?
Well, he had two big hits against the Vikings. We all saw them. And you notice that he was leading with his right shoulder on both of those hits. I mean, that's why he's got shoulder issues, because he's a big hitter. He leads with his right a lot of the time. And, there was no issue there. But, it just does show you that if you're going to get 15 tackles a game from this guy, which is what everybody wants, the shoulder is going to take a beating. So I think it's always going to be out there as an issue. But it didn't seem to be a problem at all against the Vikings. So going into the season, it's not a concern. But long term, it has to be a concern. He's an inside linebacker who's violent, and that's why you drafted him. But because of that, the shoulder is going to take a lot of abuse over time.
Going back through your articles at sackb.com, there's a lot of interesting information, one of which I didn't know. You think of Kyle Shanahan, you think of Mike Shanahan's kid, and this is a young guy that's a head coach. You wrote an article last week about how his coaching career kind of got accelerated from being a receiver.
Yeah, I was talking with Greg Davis, who was C.J. Beathard's offensive coordinator at Iowa. So I'm doing a story about Beathard. And then Davis, just brings up out of the blue, he says, I was Kyle Shanahan's offensive coordinator at Texas, too. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And I always just had the impression that Shanahan was just, a coach's son, sort of got, on a good team because of connections and whatnot. But Davis was saying that he was actually pretty good and, was NFL quality, not first round, but certainly mid-round, late round, somebody you would take a flyer on. But that it got, wiped away. His NFL career got wiped away because of a freak accident. And I said, oh, what's the freak accident? And he said, oh, he got impaled on a fence. And I said, what? And so he told me the story, and I was just blown away that no one had ever brought this up. And it's a grisly, grisly injury where he was climbing a fence or trying to hop a fence that had one of these, decorative spikes at the top, slipped and impaled his thigh, where the spike went like 8 inches into his thigh.
Aye.
And it was like hanging from the top of his fence, was suspended. Mom and dad weren't home. He was alone, and he had to lift himself off of this iron fence and literally crawl into the house. Just the most gruesome thing you've ever heard.
God. That's, I mean, when you think about that and reading your article, his dog had to take a leak or something. So he's out walking the dog, climbs the fence, impales himself. As you noted in there, you know, dad's in Colorado at training camp. Mom's not home. So this is like some Game of Thrones thing where a dude has to push himself off the – we're laughing about it, but really, seriously, he's pushing himself off the ground. As you said, crawls back in, and then that's how it went. That's how life works. He goes from a guy who, you know, mentioned wasn't the fastest but understood the game and maybe would have had a fringe career in the NFL, and maybe that's why he's, a 37-year-old head coach.
Right. He was one day away from, you know, going to Texas for, you know, what was going to be a huge breakout season for him. He's going to be the number three receiver on a really, really loaded team. Cedric Benson, Roy Williams, yeah. On and on. I told him, I said, well, hey, listen, you've got the same wound that a Greek warrior would have picked up in battle, you know, back in 500 BC. He goes. I was walking my dog. It's not really that badass.
But did I read right? Did he reenact it or offered to reenact it using like a chair in his office?
Yeah, he's totally okay talking about it. And you know, the scar is, you know, is unbelievable. It's like 9 inches on his thigh. And I was like, well, how did it happen? And he goes, well, you know, I'll show you. And he gets up and he goes to a chair and he kind of shows me via the chair how he was suspended upside down. He said that he was falling after his hand slipped while trying to jump the fence. And he thought his head was going to hit the ground. Oh. And then all of a sudden he just stops. And he stopped because his leg had become impaled on the spike, on the prong on the top. And he knew right away that he just really royally screwed up, you know, all of his plans. And he said that, you know, he was in depression for a long time after that, because everything about his life, everything he wanted to do, everything he had been pouring in was to be an NFL player at that point. And so obviously he refocused all of that. That energy and that focus to coaching, and he's done a great job of that. So maybe it was a blessing in disguise, but he certainly didn't think so at the time.
Oh man, Matt Barra is joining us. Speaking of cutting, Ahmad Brooks is gone. Why?
First of all, wonderful segue.
Thank you.
Wonderful segue.
Appreciate it, Matt. We've been together a long time, buddy. I appreciate the compliment.
Well, it's not performance-based, I'll tell you that. I still think that Ahmad Brooks is better than anybody else on the team at that position that he was playing, that Sam linebacker. It's about the future, and it's about six-year contracts and, you know, who's younger and who's got more upside. And so the 49ers decided that Eli Harold was that guy. And maybe they're right, but, you know, to me – salary cap issues should not be a factor on this team. They've got more salary cap space than any other team. They've got scads of it, and even more now that Vance McDonald's gone. So it was a bit of a surprise to me. I mean, Ahmad Brooks is 33. He's got a criminal case hanging over him as well. So all of those things, I think, went into the decision. But based on how they were practicing, based on how they were playing in the preseason, I still would give the edge to Ahmad Brooks.
Finally for you, Matt, you did a Q&A, and right at the top, it was that you think there are – you noted some similarities between Jim Harbaugh camps and Kyle Shanahan camps.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that's been sort of an underwritten – underreported element of Kyle Shanahan is that, you know, we all knew that he had this X's and O's acumen. He was going to be, you know, a wizard with the offense and, you know, in the meeting room, et cetera. What we didn't know was, you know, what kind of coach was he on the field? I mean, would he be, you know, somebody who really pushed his team? Would he be a softy? Would he be intellectual, et cetera? And he's certainly not as vocal or as animated as Jim Harbaugh or some of the past coaches. But the camp itself was as hard as any that I've covered, as grueling as any as I've covered. And I thought that there was a parallel between Harbaugh taking over the 2011 team and really pushing that team to sort of catch up with the rest of the league. And Shanahan doing the same this year. There was a recognition that, boy, we've got a lot of work to do if we're even just going to be competitive this year. So let's put our nose to the grindstone and do it. And I think that creates momentum, and it creates a scenario where you might catch some teams off guard early in the season, and I expect that to happen. I don't think that they're going to take the New York Giants to overtime in the NFC Championship game like the 49ers did in 2011, but I think this may end up being a better team than some, certainly some national prognostications suggest.
Matt Barrows is a Virginia native. His favorite player of all time is Daryl Green. You can reach him at Matt Barrows on Twitter. Check him out, sackbeat.com. Go to sports, go to Niners, and there you've got all the coverage you could possibly need for the 49ers. Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you for the time, as always.
All right, Dave, I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you. That is Matt Barrows. We'll get into the Raiders later on this week as well as they prepare, both teams really, to start the season. People keep joining the show off and on as they wake up, and I get it. Continue to ask Kyle about Joe Hayden, and these are Raider fans. Raider fans want – a lot of Raider fans on the text line that want Joe Hayden, who was released by the Cleveland Browns. I'll throw the same stat out I threw earlier. In the last two seasons, Joe Hayden has given up 72 catches on 110 throws into coverage, his coverage, 1,059 yards on those 72 catches and 10 touchdowns, just 3 interceptions. Now, granted, he's had injury issues. It's not entirely fair, Kyle, but I don't think you're getting the 2014 Joe Hayden.
No, you're definitely not. And Joe Hayden doesn't play linebacker.
that's
biggest problem. And the Raiders just drafted, in my opinion, the best cornerback in the draft in Gerrion Conley. I think he's going to be a very good player. So have some patience. You don't need to throw money at Joe Hayden. That's a bad thing the Raiders would have used to do. This is a new team, and I don't think they're gonna pay for a guy who I don't think is going to help them that much.
Why doesn't David Amerson get much respect? He didn't get the respect. Nobody respects this guy. He just shows up and does his thing. He's been a very serviceable dude for the last two seasons now, regularly rated as one of their top guys. And everybody always forgets about this guy. It's like, well, he's on the roster, I guess. It's okay. You can give us a Titans update in the next segment there, Kyle.
Oh, I'm on it. Well, I had a full 53-man projection for you.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I do.
From TitansWire.com. That's right. That's the editor-in-chief there, Kyle Madsen. When we get back, Jim Cozumore is going to join us. Our old buddy Coz will be all over the board with him. But before that, Kevin Durant got the nickname Cupcake, and he's having a little bit of fun with it with his shoes. We'll tell you next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.